Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer, who I feel like I haven't talked to in a million years. Good morning, Jim.
Maria, it's hard to believe. It does seem like absolute ages. I guess it's because there's so much going on in the world and we so enjoy our conversations when we have the chance.
I know. Well, I think it was Bernie Sanders who said last week that this past year felt like 116 years. I don't know where he got that figure, but I could tell you it feels that way to me too. Jim, I wanted to talk about something personal because I want my listeners to be aware, and I want you to be aware, and I want everybody listening to the show to be aware, because I truly believe I give out life-saving information on this show. For the past 6 or 7 months, I actually ended up in urgent care twice. With my head spinning, with the room spinning, with earaches, with all kinds of situations. And every time they told me it was allergies. And after enough of that and taking the so-called allergy medication and not getting any better, I decided to find my old doctor who specializes. He's in an ENT. And I got to see him yesterday. And he gave me an examination. And I said to him, what's going on here? First of all, he told me, because I told him, I don't have allergies. And they've got me on, this allergy medication, which isn't really doing the job. And after an exam, he said to me two things, Jim. He said, number one, this is a low-level virus that everybody seems to be getting in Arizona. He said, you're about halfway through. It lasts for about 6 months. And
6 months,
and he says there's no antibiotics for it. You don't get a fever with it. You don't get the chills or body aches, but it's a virus inside your sinus, a head, whatever. He also told me that all the stuff they told me to use, the Flonase, the Zyrtec, he said, has made this situation worse by drying everything out. Now, yeah, I know a lot of people out there are using those things without really knowing what's going on. So I said to him the same thing I had said to my regular MD, what are they spraying on us in the air? And when I said that to the specialist yesterday, I said, don't you think it has something to do with what they're spraying in the air every day? He actually was interested and asked me questions. He says, Maria, what is in that stuff? And I said to him, as far as I know, aluminum, barium, heavy metals, nanobots, nanodust. I said, and God knows what else. Because my feeling, Jim, is that this is contributing. I mean, first of all, have you ever heard of a low-level virus?
No.
6 months worth, and you tell me you're about halfway through. The only two things that he told me he would give me that would actually help, you can buy over the counter, which are basically solutions, strong solutions to irrigate your nose, to keep it wet, and a gel to use at night. So here I am thinking to myself, even when I told my regular MD, I said, they're spraying the skies every day. I said, I'm sure this is contributing to whatever this is. And he listened. So what's interesting to me is doctors are more open to this now than ever. Number two, everybody's being misdiagnosed because of the bad state of our healthcare. If you don't see a specialist, they just kind of clump you in with whatever everybody else is going through. So, while the whole country's worrying about insurance, what about the shitty healthcare that we have in this country?
Yeah, I know. It should be single payer, Maria. We're the only modern industrialized nation that is in this antiquated situation. We're allowing the capitalists to exploit us over health. It seems to me a government has an obligation to deal with the necessities of life for its citizens, clean air, clean water, and to maintain the health of the residents of the United States. That ought to be a primary obligation of government. Medicare was designed to be expanded to the entire population. Bernie Sanders supported it. He was 100% correct. It ought to be done. Trump even on one occasion said, why not Medicare for everyone? But he was shot down by his advisors,
right,
who obviously want their pockets to continue to be lined by graft and corruption from big pharma and hospitals.
Right. You know why?
It's outrageous.
I agree.
We're a primitive country, medically speaking. It's outrageous.
And believe me, we can't afford to call any other country a shithole. That's for sure.
I agree with that.
Now, Bernie gave an online, he gave an online speech yesterday, again, on Medicare for All, and he had 1 million viewers. I mean, that's huge if you think about it.
Yeah, it is. That's fantastic. And, of course, he's exactly right. I'm very pleased to hear he's out there beating the war drums for Medicare for All, because that is the solution to our nation's medical problems.
Absolutely. Now, Jim, I know you probably have Medicare. I have Medicare. It runs like clockwork. It's perfect.
Yes.
It runs like clockwork. They're actually happy when you go to the doctors and to see you have Medicare, because it's so much less paperwork and bureaucracy for them.
Yes.
I mean, the argument shouldn't be whether we have coverage, because coverage is a joke. You pay more, get less. I mean, one of the nasal sprays that the other doctor had recommended to me, Jim, it was $158 for a nasal spray.
A nasal spray? That's ridiculous. Just shoot salt water up your nose and you're better off, and it doesn't cost you a nickel.
So I'm like, when you have medicine for profit, I mean, when you talk about, you know, Trump with the, you know, he wants more people from Norway. Norway has Medicare for All. They have free education. Why in the hell would anybody from Norway want to come here?
No, anyone who knows what's going on in Norway wants to move there.
I know. If I had the money, I'd be out of here. But I'm here, and I guess I have to keep doing what I'm doing. But I was so stunned, because you know what? Most people are going to take their doctor's word for something. They're going to keep suffering the same malady. And I told this specialist, I says, you know what? Even over-the-counter shit, I know this stuff has side effects. I don't want to stay on this crap the rest of my life. And he basically told me it was just misdiagnosed. That's not the problem. But if now we have to go to a specialist, because, you know, regular MDs can only do so much, and what do they give you, 5 minutes? I mean, there's a sorry state of affairs, and I don't know whether you saw that doctor from Poland who this week got deported or has got deportations against him. He came here when he was, I think, 6 years old. He's been a practicing doctor. For 40 years he's been in this country, and they're kicking him out on 2 misdemeanors he got when he was in his 20s. I mean, we need all the doctors we could get in this country.
That's completely ridiculous.
All right. Now, you know,
some of these, you know, anecdotal cases, and they're very, very telling. Stories like that are a disgrace. I'm very worried, by the way, that the chemtrails are being used also to spread these aluminum particles. You know, you mentioned the elements, barium, strontium, aluminum. In California, the fires, because the aluminum particles are on the ground in the needles and all that, they've had these incredibly intense fires that can't be extinguished, that are so hot they melt metal parts on cars. Mm. They seem to be a combination of the metallic particles and the directed energy weapons being used on airplanes to cause these fires to take place. It's like there's a project to take out the United States, and I think it includes the hurricanes we had, the disaster in Houston, but also I believe taking out Puerto Rico was probably an experiment to see what happens to a country when you wipe out its electrical grid.
Right. Well, and now they're going in and privatizing that, which was
a
goal
insane
that they had before Hurricane Maria hit. They wanted to privatize it, and yesterday I saw the story that they are privatizing it.
Well, here's the deal. It's like with the Medicare. We know when the government delivers a program like Social Security, for example, there's a 2% overhead in maintaining the program. When you privatize, it jumps to 12% because the privatization is for the sake of profits. You have an added 10% profit margin. That's going to happen in the electrical grid in Puerto Rico. You know, I'm getting stories, by the way, that the Bush crime family is trying to buy up aquifers all over the country. So, you know, unless you're going to have be able to pay for it, you may not even have water essential to your health. This is another way in which the government has, in my opinion, a fundamental obligation to provide and protect the resources necessary for human life to clean air, clean water, you know, opportunity for food. This is why Libya, the destruction of Libya was such a disgrace, Maria. Gaddafi was using the oil wealth of Libya to benefit the Libyan people, national health care, national public education, national warehouses stocked with food.
Right.
If you had a medical malady that couldn't be dealt with in Libya, he would fly you and a friend or relative, all expense paid, anywhere in the world to have it dealt with. He was introducing the Great Waterworks Project that would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis, and the golden dinar that would have rapidly become the currency of all of Africa.
Right.
And because this pisses off Western banking interests, read that Rothschilds and the French, who wanted to keep Africa as their neocolonial preserve, we slaughtered Libya. We massacred Gaddafi. He actually didn't put up a fight. He was surrendering to locations specified by the Department of State. Hillary had his convoy under a white flag of surrender interdicted. And they had Gaddafi castrated, sodomized with a bayonet, and murdered. She later cackled about it, paraphrasing Julius Caesar in relation to the Gallic Wars, where he said, "I came, I saw, I conquered." He said, "We came, we saw, he died," cackle, cackle, cackle. This is a despicable example of a human being. In fact, she's inhumane in the extreme.
Right. Well, what's it? There's so many stories, so I'm going to have to ask you. Counting on your memory, Jim. Was it Gaddafi that agreed or said he would buy, like, I don't know, several hundred thousand cars and give us so much money if we backed off? Was that Gaddafi?
Saddam. That was Saddam Hussein.
Oh, okay.
But it's another case where we've done something colossally stupid, where Susan Lindauer was the CIA asset who was a liaison to Saddam Hussein. And he was so eager to avoid war with the United States that he offered to buy 1 million cars a year for the next 10 years.
Right.
And as she was leaving, he said, "And if that's not enough, make it 20. Now imagine if we sold 1 million cars a year for 20 years to Gaddafi, where we would, Saddam Hussein, to Iraq. Imagine where we'd be today.
Right.
Instead of squandering $5.5 trillion on wars in the Middle East for Israel.
Right.
For Israel. All that bloody mess in the Middle East is for the benefit of Israel, which wants to expand to become the greater Israel of Zionist aspirations. And where we even have a war going on now where the Turks are attacking the Kurds because the United States declared it was going to create a border against terrorism that involved taking segments of Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Turkey to create a new Kurdistan. When I saw that map, Maria, I knew this would provoke an immediate and vicious retaliation from Turkey, and it has, and it's ongoing, and the mainstream media isn't even reporting it.
Right. Well, yeah, I saw that, and you sent me a lot of really good stuff on Syria, and I do want to get into that with you, because today we are supposedly saying that Syria is using chlorine gas on its own people. And I'm like, hello, we're getting gas chemically poisoned every day in our skies. How come nobody's coming to save us?
But Maria, way back when, during a much earlier gas attack that was not the responsibility of the Syrian government, it was done by the rebels. Syria, in a deal negotiated with Russia, gave up all of its chemical capability. It doesn't have any chemical weapons. That's why that more recent attack that was also blamed on Assad was absurd. They didn't even have the chemical weapons so that the, you know, the liars, the lies we get from our own government just make me want to vomit.
I hear that. Let me ask you this. About a week ago, I think, I got a news story, and of course I said it on my show, that All 50 states, people are drinking radioactive water out of their tap. In all 50 states. And we have now a government with an empty EPA and deregulating the few laws we have for clean air and clean water.
Yes.
What's the goal? I mean, do they want to kill us all?
Well, I think that may, in fact, be the objective.
Well, you know.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know. I mean, this depopulation program, you know, the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, the whole idea of reducing the world's population by about 90%, I mean, it's frightening to imagine, but look around you today. What is the government doing to nurture and protect the health and well-being of the citizens of the United States?
Nothing. I mean, they've even cut back now on how many people, where there were always too few to begin with, inspecting our minds for safety. I mean, it's just like everything's going out the window. And, you know, I remember years and years ago, God, I'm sure you're familiar with the work of Robert Galen Ross Jr.
Yeah.
But I used to do series with him because he put out some really good stuff way ahead of a lot of people. And when we talked about the depopulation agenda, he said that the goal was to destroy America from the inside out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm looking at all these cabinet picks. I'm looking at these crazy pro-life judges getting installed while everybody's paying attention to Trump's stupid tweets. I mean, you know, slaughtering pretty much the Consumer Protection Agency, putting that criminal Mike Mulvaney in charge of it. It really seems to me that this is the goal. You know, we can't blame it on Steve Bannon anymore. He's gone. I mean, is it the GOP's thing that they just want to destroy every area of our government and our lives?
Speaking of Steve Bannon, by the way, I just finished reading the Fire and Fury book by Michael Wolff about the Trump administration. And there are two areas where I'm very, very concerned. This book makes it very clear that the Trump foreign policy isn't America first, it's Israel first. And the second is the point you're making about the health and welfare of the American people. I think we're in the facing a calamity here.
Right. I mean, when a doctor says everybody's got a low-level virus that lasts 6 months and nobody's questioning that, the virus only attacks, you know, your ear canal, your nose and whatnot, no other symptoms of a virus. And then I said to him, well, is there antibiotics or treatment for that? He said, no. You just got to let it run its course. You're halfway there.
You're halfway there. Well, good luck with the other half.
That's what I say. I'm like, holy Batman. I also, let's get back. You mentioned you blew all of those fires in California, and I don't think we've talked about it together. Years ago, I talked to some firemen up here when we had some big fires in the mountains, and they were talking, because they were members of my gym, about how difficult it was to put their fire out. And I said, well, isn't that because they're all covered with chemicals? And he agreed. He said, they're fighting chemical fires. And we talked about the chemtrails. And you know what? The firemen knew.
Well, the government knows. These appear to be Air Force planes that are spraying all this stuff down. And it serves no good purpose. I mean, in the beginning, I thought it might have been an effort to contain global warming by putting something in the atmosphere that would reflect the sun's rays back into space. But actually, that won't work either. And it appears to have a much more sinister objective, which involves contaminating the soil. It could also kill off the ability of foliage, of trees, of plants to live.
Right.
What with these California fires, Maria, you have houses that were completely reduced to ash. I mean, every element of the house, the ceramics, the refrigerators, everything was completely reduced to ash. And yet the trees that immediately surrounded the house were totally undamaged, not even singed.
Right.
That's very damn peculiar.
Well, I've seen so many videos, so many pictures. You could see the blue beams coming down on certain areas. And other people posited that it was they used the smart meters to create those fires on specific homes, because you did see there were some homes that were not even touched in the same area.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, wow, I'm glad I was here the day they thought they were going to put that smart meter on my house. And even when I had that conversation with the electric company's installers, she agreed with me on every point I made about the danger of smart meters. She said, this is my job, though. I have to replace it. And they've already told me, start looking for another job. So I said to her, so you've been doing this for like 30 years, and now you're supposed to look for another job. You're actually installing these things that are going to replace your job. You know me, I try to get into conversation with everybody, Jim.
Oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. Yes, 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 you're benefiting from all kinds of data points that wouldn't otherwise be available.
Well, here's the other thing. Last week, my TV blew out, okay? And I said, oh, I got to get a new TV. Not that I have television, but I need it to use for Hulu and my streaming, right? Jim, yeah. It's almost impossible to find a TV that is not a smart TV. Amazon, with the thousands of TVs Amazon had for sale, two were not smart TVs.
Meaning there were only two where they weren't at the same time conducting a surveillance upon you.
Right. So I'm like, look at this. I mean, I tell people over and over, Jim, if it says smart in front of it, run away. Because it's gonna smart.
If your TV blew, that seems so unusual. I wonder if it wasn't a contrived to get you with a smart TV.
Yeah, well, if it was, it didn't work. I still don't have a smartphone. I never will. So I try to do the best I can. I can't see paying for your own surveillance like this Alexa, which is recording people 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we're living in the surveillance society, and you'll see there are some very bad signs of what's going on here, including the closing of a lot of Sam's Cubs. We had one right here in Madison that Jan and I used to shop, but we've long since given it up because of the, you know, Walmart, the Walton family's political objectives. We don't want to support them. But there's a whole lot going on here that's reminiscent of Jade Helm 15, and where,
right.
In the Dave Hodges with the Common Sense Show has been reporting, where he's even been forced to conclude that it's part of an attempted coup against Trump, that they're running out of options, that the Russian hacking meme didn't work, and that they need a plan, that the mental health agenda hasn't worked, and they need a plan C. Where this attack using drones on the Russian forces in Syria was traced back to the Office of Naval Intelligence, Maria. I don't know if you picked up on that, raising alarms because it's being run out of Andrews Air Force Base outside of Washington, D.C., suggesting the ONI may be planning a drone attack on President Trump. I mean, that if that happens, if they take him out, then there's going to be a lot of people in the street who are very unhappy, and they may have a plan to round them up and put them in new FEMA facilities in these Sam's Club buildings.
Well, I certainly found it odd that right after they got their big tax giveaway, let's face it, the 1% got 82% of that they just turn around and announce we're closing, 62 stores. So, if people look at things, here's a big story that really never got the attention it should have gotten. The Hawaii alert of an incoming missile, followed in 2 days by Japan admitting they got the same alert.
Well, there are multiple follow-ups on this suggesting that it wasn't just an alert, that there actually had been a missile fired from a submarine, apparently a Dolphin-class Israeli submarine, that actually had a trajectory that went up into the atmosphere and then came down like an intercontinental ballistic missile that was intended to simulate a strike from North Korea, where the deep state is going ballistic because the two Koreas are going to send a joint team to the Olympics.
Right.
This is a major thaw in relations and a very good sign. But the deep state is very upset about it because it undermines the prospect for a war with North Korea.
Right. So let me ask you this. Was Israel trying to pull off another USS Liberty? Was this another Pearl Harbor, literally, by the PNAC group? Or a false flag that just went south? Or a test case?
We have two or three sources that are making exactly that point. For example, An email received on January 19th, former CIA covert op and Marine intelligence officer Robert David Steele said the attack was, quote, a Zionist submarine doing a USS Liberty on Hawaii. So that parallel is being drawn explicit in several of the discussions that are getting deeper into this.
Well, you know, Trump had said supposedly to, you know, in private to some of his jerks, I don't even want to call them an administration, that perhaps another terrorist attack could save the GOP in the midterm elections. And of course, when I saw this in Hawaii, I, just like you, went right to the USS Liberty. Then I thought about the Project for New American Century. Then my mind went right to 9/11. And I thought it stunk to high heaven. And now we're supposed to believe that this was just an error by some low-level employee?
Well, you know, I discussed this with an expert in the area. He used to be the Navy's top electronics troubleshooter. And he told me it's not even possible that that could have happened by accident, that there's so many levels safeguarding against something like that occurring inadvertently. It had to have been deliberate. And now I think we're getting the rest of the story. It was a bona fide warning, but that the missile was shot down. Get this. Word here in Hawaii is that a group of tourists and tour guides were on a boat 100 miles offshore Saturday morning around 8 a.m. when they witnessed what they thought to be a meteor blowing up over the ocean.
Right.
It was reporting on Hawaiian Channel 2, but then removed from their website. Rumor is the launch came from an Israeli Dolphin 2 submarine. Some college basketball games had a red alert across the screen from U.S. Pacific Command declaring a missile launch in the Pacific near Hawaii. At least that suggests that our alert system is functioning properly. And
yeah, but look how long it took, 38 minutes, to let people know it was a false alert. The governor knew 5 minutes later, and his excuse is he forgot his password for Twitter.
Well, I'm making a different point, Marie, which is this, that there was a launch, that it was detected, and it was shot down.
Right.
I've talked about this before, that North Korea doesn't pose a threat to us because the trillions we've invested in our defense system give us the capability, with lasers mounted on satellites, to shoot down these missiles even on the launching pad, which I'm convinced we've done several times to embarrass North Korea.
Right.
So here's a case where the defense system worked properly, yes. There was a delay in clearing the warning. But the more important consideration is that it actually did work. They did shoot down the missile. It all happened the way it ought to have happened, which is why North Korea doesn't, in fact, pose a military threat to the United States, because we have the capacity to shoot down their missiles even before they're in flight.
Right. So why would you think that Japan would have the same treatment a day or two later?
Well, maybe there was a second effort and it was also destroyed. I mean, I think Israel is going bananas trying to get the United States into wars, whether it's with North Korea on the one hand or with Russia on the other. I mean,
and Iran. Let's not leave out Iran or Syria. You know, I mean, what else does Israel want? I mean, they've got it all. You know, they had Mike Pence praying at their wall. They've already got their promise to move the embassy to Jerusalem. I mean, what the hell else does he want?
I damned Donald Trump to hell on international television for that decision to move Jerusalem to the, you know, make it the capital of Israel. That was so off the wall. That was so lunatic. That was so insane. And you got Steve Bannon in the book Fire and Fury wanted to parcel off the Gaza Strip and the Golan Heights. I mean, it's just incredible. To Jordan or to Egypt, let them deal with it. I mean, this book is very disturbing. I don't, for a minute, take it all to be literally true, but I guarantee you there's enough there to define the characters of the parties involved, the key players, to be profoundly disturbing.
Well, there's another book coming out, not by that author, but it also takes on the chaotic White House under Trump's, and they said it'll be even more damning than this one. But when I saw that, and Pence, by the way, separating the female reporters, they had to be like certain amount of feet behind him, which now the female reporters are trying a lawsuit about it. That man is a sick and twisted individual. And look at how much we've now inflamed the entire Middle East by that stupid decision about the embassy, which I doubt is ever going to move.
Right, right. It was completely lunatic. Now, who is being, in relation to whom are the reporters told they can't come close? Pence,
yeah. He had the female reporter stand, I think, 4 feet behind the other reporters. Because he's an idiot. Remember, this is a guy who says he can't have dinner with another woman. Okay? He can't be in the presence of another woman because of his religious bullshit.
This guy is truly demented, then.
They're all crazy. They're one worse than the other.
Most disturbing report about Pence I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. It's in the news today. I actually got it off the Israeli press about the reporters, the female journalists, who are super pissed off. They said, you know, that happened at another time in history where women had to stand back.
That's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, this is the most anti-woman administration of fake Christians I've ever seen in my entire life. I've just never seen anything like it. It's every day is another embarrassment.
Trump used to be a social liberal. I mean, he didn't have any problem with abortion or Social Security or Medicare. He was all for it. He even spoke the truth about 9/11 on the day it occurred, that planes couldn't have penetrated the Twin Towers because they were built with the steel on the outside.
Right.
And it's a law of material science that in collisions, the more dense material prevails over the less, and steel is overwhelmingly more dense than aluminum. Any plane directed at those buildings would have crumpled external to the building, even exploded, which is why they had to fake it. They needed to get the planes, at least in their image, all the way inside the building before they exploded, so that they'd have a pseudo-justification for the collapse, which wasn't a collapse either. The buildings are blowing apart in every direction from the top down. All the floors remain stationary, waiting their turn to be converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And when it's over, there's no stack of debris in their footprints, nothing at all.
Right.
My Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church on my shows twice. He was a first responder. Both times he emphasized most buildings were destroyed to or even below ground level. A massive reputation of the government's account right there all by itself.
Absolutely. Well, we've cut 9/11 to death, and I always throw it up because we're living in a post-9/11 psychotic world. Jim, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Bria's in it just like you are. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth. Jim and I are roaring away. We have a couple of things we still got to squeeze in here. And one of them is, I was reading, Jim, that Posner from Sandy Hook's lawsuit against Habig was kicked out. Is that true?
Well, here's the deal. Wolfgang had published some documents he received under Freedom of Information Act requests, and they contained information about the address of Leonard Posner, which he used as the occasion to launch a lawsuit against Wolfgang. Now, they had three preliminary hearings at which Lenny Posner did not show up. And by the way, the best we can tell, his actual name is Leonard P. Osner. So he combines his middle initial with his last name. He didn't show up, which gave Wolfgang the right to discovery. Posner was evading doing the discovery. But Wolf got a new attorney who's very, very good, a new judge who was no nonsense, who directed that Posner had to sit for a video deposition. So at 4:59 p.m. Eastern time, the last possible moment, he withdrew the lawsuit rather than sit for the video deposition. Wolfgang is now organizing a counter lawsuit to retain legal fees and so forth. I think in many ways the Sandy Hook people are on the run. Well, we've, of course, been able to prove how they fabricated the kids out of photographs of older kids. In other words, all the children seen in those photographs were fiction. Mm-hmm. None of them existed. They, therefore, could not have been killed at Sandy Hook because they weren't even real people. And, of course, we already knew the school had been closed by 2008. It was loaded with asbestos, biohazards, damaged by hurricanes. There was a major flood in Newtown in 2007, Maria.
Right.
And we even have a statement from a guy, a contractor, who was visiting a friend 10 miles away, and they went over to the school because he had an appointment about which he'd been unaware to pick up some school desks on the cheap for his kids to use. And he described the deplorable condition of the school, how you could see flood water marks up several inches above the floor. Mm-hmm. It was decrepit, condemned. I mean, the, you know, you get confirmation from unexpected sources.
Right.
I think Wolfgang, therefore, is on a roll here, very, very positive. I would add, this guy Lenny appears to be coming into my blog. I'm taking security precautions, but he's taking down the images that prove we can actually see Noah Posner turned into Michael Vabner, his older stepbrother. I mean, you know, we know how it was done. And there is, by the way, I've done a new overview about Sandy Hook. And because YouTube is taking so many, I had this put up on BitChute, which won't allow any of its videos to be taken down. It's entitled Sandy Hook Update. Mm-hmm. Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins, the deep state strikes back. So if you want to see the images that have been taken down, do a search. It'll show up. A Sandy Hook update. Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins, the deep state strikes back.
Sounds good. I also wanted to touch on Las Vegas, another story that went away. To me, I have to tell you, the more I look at what happened in Vegas, I think about that Fast and Furious gun running out of Obama and Eric Holder's to Mexico deal. And I just kind of feel like this guy was an arms dealer. You know, the whole story still makes no sense. The more that gets revealed, they never gave us any motive that this guy would have had to do what they say he did.
Well, you appear to be right on that he actually was an arms dealer. That's why he had all these weapons, that there was a showroom. They would come in and they'd look at the weapons and then decide what they wanted to try out. He'd arrange for them to have a separate firing exercise. Turned out he had like 7 different cell phones. This is all very revealing. Mm-hmm. But there's some other stunning developments here that confirm the fact that the whole thing is made up and fabricated, including that the body in the suite was shot twice. You can even hear it on some of the audio tapes. 2 gunshots can be heard at 325 and 336 in the following video, the last after the final fully automatic volley of gunfire by 38 seconds, which, by the way, was all fabricated. That was on a pre-recorded soundtrack that was being played over the PA system. While they had a special visual effects of flashing lights coordinated to look like a machine gun fire from the 4th floor of the Mandalay Bay in the middle of the hotel. Higher up, you had 3 light bursts as though these were American military weapons with 3 shot bursts. We got a video where a guy in the crowd turns to fire on the crowd. You can see the flash of light from his weapon, but he's firing blanks. No one is actually shot. Many people forget that there were events going on at other hotels, that at the Bellagio, the Flamingo, New York, their lobbies were all shot out. It's interesting that Intel Hub, which is actually doing a lot of good reporting now, they had a story where they thought they'd uncovered a mini massacre at Hooters because there were 17 ambulances pulled up in front of Hooters. Hmm. But if they took a closer look at their own footage from inside Hooters, you saw a lot of bored crisis actors, each with their own sheet, waiting to be taken out as additional victims. So now we have this report, which actually is a good one from Intel Hub, that there's a blood stain on the dead guy's lower chest, as if he may have had an additional wound not reported by law enforcement. If he killed himself, as the sheriff claims, why would he have shot himself in the lower chest and then the mouth? It makes no sense. If one wanted to get the job done, they'd only shoot once, and that would be to the head. It sounds like a typical double tap, one to the chest, one to the head to finish him off. Get this. They've also reported additional evidence that the guy in these photographs, the dead body, isn't Stephen Paddock for the following reason. We have photographs of Paddock where you can see his earlobe smoothly attached to his head, Numerous photographs, but you look at the dead guy and the earlobes curl up. It's not the same guy. And get this, this is also stunning that the body autopsy by the doctor doesn't appear to be Stephen Paddock. It was reported by the doctor, Dr. Lisa Gavin, to be 73 inches tall. That's 6'1" tall. Mm-hmm. But we have his Alaska hunting, trapping, fishing license where he's 6'4". So, I mean, this is all complete joke.
Well, they had different eye colors, too. Wasn't the eye color changed from blue to brown?
You know, I think that's also true, Maria. That's a nice point as well. It turns out now the preliminary investigative report claims that he checked in using his girlfriend's identification, which is simply absurd. According to, this is Intel Hub again, according to the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's preliminary report, Paddock checked into the adjacent room 32134 using his girlfriend's name, even though she wasn't present. If that were true, it would mean anyone could rent a hotel room at Mandalay Bay under an assumed name by presenting any random person's credentials, even if the photo, name, and sex of the person listed didn't correspond to the person who was presenting them. The Mandalay Bay front desk has claimed that would be impossible. Checking in with someone's ID and credit card are not possible unless the person is present. Right. But get this, they've also admitted now that the staff visited Paddock's room 10 times before the shooting, two of the visits being on the very day of the shooting, and they reported nothing abnormal. But get this, they're showing us photographs of inside the suite and their weapons all over the place.
Bullets all over the place, I know. Shells all over the floor.
It's all the whole thing is totally
Another question then. You look at that, you look at all these other crazy things, and I don't know, you know, I know you're super busy and you're booked all day, so you might miss some of the stories. I don't, and vice versa. Sure. But yesterday we had the 11th school shooting of 2018.
Well, you know, I haven't looked enough at this to tell whether it's real or not.
But just think about it. Just the number 11. 11 in a month of 24 days. What is going on? What are they trying to do here? That's my question. I mean, I don't expect you to answer it because we're just finding out about it. It just happened yesterday. But what are the chances? You know what I mean? Cops have already shot 68 Americans this year. What's happening with that?
Well, if the shootings are real or they're not, one of the problems with giving fake shootings is it plants the idea in somebody's mind of going to a school and shooting up kids. That's the greatest lingering effect of Sandy Hook. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. It was completely contrived. But it could be there's some who learn by imitative learning, which is a very powerful method for human learning, that's something they could do, and they may decide they should do it. We know in Mandalay Bay, by the way, in Las Vegas, that Mona Alexis Presley has been doing this brilliant job of investigating all the obituaries on the alleged dead, and she has found that they correspond to people who died in different states or on different dates or from different causes of death. It's all completely fraudulent. She's turned up the Metropolitan Police crime map for the area 1 mile around the concert area. From the 8 p.m. on the first to 8 p.m. on the second. In other words, the area overlapping with the alleged shooting. And listen, here's the total exhaustive reports on the crime map. Other disturbance, assault and battery.
I saw that.
Assault, burglary, stolen motor vehicle, burglary, malicious destruction, other disturbance, recovered motor vehicle, other discovered robbery. Nothing about a shooting. Nothing at all about a shooting. And, of course, as we have previously reported, as one of my Facebook friends discovered, the three closest hospitals to the scene of the shooting received no gunshot victims at all. One of them even told her they thought that she was talking about the drill that took place and she needed to call the local police because nobody was shot. It was just a drill.
Well, there's a couple of other things I want to get to with you because we haven't talked in so long. The Kennedy paper releases, a lot of what, I mean, of course, they're still holding back, I believe 30,000 pages, But what they did release, I'm sure you've seen, which has pretty much confirmed a lot of your work and a lot of other JFK investigators' work. How did that make you feel?
Well, good as far as it goes. I mean, just to cite a couple of cases, it showed that the mayor of Dallas at the time, Earl Campbell,
right,
whose brother Charles was Air Force Lieutenant General and Deputy Director of the CIA, who was dismissed by JFK, where I'd long since concluded that the Campbell brothers were the connection between the CIA and Dallas, joined the CIA himself, Earl Campbell, the mayor, in 1956. Mm-hmm. So he was already, you know, a part of the CIA. There was another release from Moscow having concluded that Lyndon Johnson was responsible for the death of JFK. Mm-hmm. This was a cable in 1967 that they wanted all the information that could possibly be obtained about the new president because they concluded he was responsible for the assassination of his predecessor. Those kinds of confirmations are very significant. We also have a lot there about them having manufactured the trip to Mexico City. It's all very peculiar. Mm-hmm. There's a fellow photographed down there who doesn't look at all like Lee Oswald. He's a big guy, bulky, with a bush haircut.
Oh, yeah, I saw the picture. He looks like Al Bundy.
He does look a little like Al Bundy.
I know. Lee Harvey Oswald. Nothing like him.
Right. He appears to be a guy named Tobinsky who's associated with a crime family in Toronto. They also had audio tape, and it wasn't Oswald's voice, so that J. Edgar was moved to put out a memorandum to all station chiefs that someone was impersonating Lee Harvey Oswald in Mexico City. I say if that's all you knew about the assassination, someone was impersonating Lee Oswald in Mexico City, you know the whole thing was a conspiracy with a cover-up where Oswald was the patsy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There's stuff coming out, but without any doubt whatsoever, Maria, you're correct that they're holding stuff back, even though it's against the law.
Right.
I mean, what we're talking about, the reason it happened in 2017 is that when the Congress passed a JFK Records Act in 1992 in the wake of a resurgence of interest in the case generated by Oliver Stone's film JFK, it had a 25-year expiration date so that all the documents and records had to be released within 25 years. That meant 2017, right, which is why we had the releases taking place then.
Right, but not all of it. As usual, not all of it. I want to ask you this. There seems to be a lot of TV shows now, documentaries, trying to put all the blame on Kennedy's assassination on the mafia.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, that was an original fallback. You know, they don't want to admit, but I mean, you know, it was a CIA op. It was very cleverly orchestrated. The military was involved. That's why they stole the body to get it to medical hands of the military so they could alter the body, fake the x-rays, phony up autopsy photographs. You'll like this one, Maria. We haven't discussed this, I believe. But we have discovered that autopsy photographs published by Robert Grodin in his book, The Killing of a President, which many regard with great reverence, aren't even of the body of JFK. So not only did they alter the body by enlarging a small, clean puncture wound in the throat to make it more look like the effect of a shot from behind, not only did they take a cranial saw to the skull of JFK at Bethesda and turn it into a huge missing back of the head when it was a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head, not only did they alter the x-rays by patching that blowout with a material much too dense to be human bone, not only did they alter the Zapruder and Nicks, the home movies, to conceal more events that took place that are in the recorded film. We have 487 frames. My surmise now is there were 1,000 frames in the original, so more is missing than we have now. But we're covering, you know, uncovering again and again more evidence. In fact, we've been able to prove what we already knew, that Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway at the time the motorcade passed. We even know that who stood in for him in the backyard photographs turned out to be a Dallas cop by the name of Roscoe White, tied into the CIA, who appears to have been responsible for the death of as many as 50 witnesses to JFK who died those mysterious deaths.
Right. Well, you know, so we saw similar things after 9/11. And don't forget, right after 9/11, when that other plane went over, was it New Jersey? And all those people reported it, and the FBI told them they didn't see what they saw.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, they count on people having short memories.
Yeah, let me squeeze in before we go too far that I do have an update on Las Vegas, and I'm going to be doing another on the Brian Rue, R-U-H-E show. So if you put in Brian Rue, R-U-H-E, comma, Las Vegas Massacre, comma, Jim Fetzer, you'll get an overview of Las Vegas, but there have been so many recent developments, such as those I've been reporting here today. I'm going to be doing an update and also give an overview about Charlottesville, where I have a new book you can get at moonrockbooks.com, Political Theater in Charlottesville, because this whole thing was contrived by leftist zealots, including the mayor of Charlottesville, the governor of the state, and George Soros. It's a disgusting story, Maria, completely disgusting.
Well, let me ask you this. What's your opinion on the three-day shutdown we had that I'm sure we're going to have a repeat of in the beginning of February?
Well, it's a good question. There's some who speculated that it was to distract attention from the revelations coming about the Russia hacking scandal, which has now been blown apart. There's a document coming out from a four-page summary about the whole thing being fraudulent and the culpability of leading figures in the FBI, including this Andrew McCabe and James Comey, even Rod Rosenstein's going to be implicated, that they were all setting up Trump for to take the rap for a phony Russian hacking story that was manufactured. We actually knew already from a book published by two investigative journalists who followed Hillary's campaign, published in early 2017, entitled Shattered, that the Russian hacking meme had been made up by Robbie Mook and John Podesta within 24 hours of her concession speech to, number one, obfuscate their incompetent campaign, number two, to distract attention from the contents of the WikiLeaks revelation that led directly to Pizzagate, where John Podesta is the pedophile in chief, and number three, to confound about the Russian involvement, where Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were responsible for transferring 20% of American uranium reserves to the hands of Russia through a Canadian company, Uranium One. And when you stop and think about it, Maria, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg received the electric chair for sharing atomic secrets with the then Soviet Union. What do Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama deserve for having transferred 20% of American uranium reserves to Russia?
Well, don't forget, you know, people still think these are two separate parties. Don't forget when Trump met with the Russians without any U.S. journalists there and told them Israel secrets. So it's, but I thought this shutdown was a distraction for the Stormy Daniels story that busted loose, because today everybody is trying to figure out if that's the reason Melania has chosen not to go to the Davos meeting with Trump.
Tell me the story. I may have missed it.
Well, Stormy Daniels is the porn star that came out and said she was paid off out of campaign finance money, $130,000, to keep her mouth shut about the one-year affair she had with Trump right after Melania had given birth to Barron Trump. And then supposedly Trump invited another porn star to join them for a threesome. She turned it down, but this Stormy Daniels and her now ex-husband were both given polygraph tests before In Touch magazine put that story out there, and they passed. So all his whoremongering and all these lawsuits against him and payoffs are coming around. And what amazes me is, where's the Clinton, you know, where's the people that wanted Clinton impeached for a blowjob, which was consensual, supposedly, between two adults? And now this story with these porn stars, which, of course, Melania has, you know, said she's not a porn star, even though there are light porn films out there. But now they're saying even on their wedding anniversary, she didn't appear or post anything in league with her husband. She put up some kind of a post with a military man standing next to her. So could it be that she might actually be that insulted and just say the hell with this? Could this be the first divorce in the White House? I mean, this is a juicy story. You should really pay attention to it. I'm sure it's hinted at in Fire and Fury, where that guy, that author, said Trump is having an affair right now. And he said if you read the book, you could read between the lines to know who. So the best guess people have now is either Hope Hicks or Nikki Haley.
Oh, not Nikki Haley. No, I think it would have to be Hope. Yeah, sure.
But, the hypocrisy, and he's got all these Christians, even Franklin Graham, defending him. Well, he's not a perfect man. Well, the guy's obviously a serial adulterer, and how are the Christians okay with that?
Hypocrisy in Washington, D.C., Maria?
What a shock. I know. What a shock, Jim. I'm like, oh, my God, this is better than watching my soap opera.
Yeah, it's on a par, I know. But you see, Trump went all through that with the Billy Bush tape and all that. I mean, we already knew he was not a good character when it came to relations with women. So I don't think that is going to...
Well, look at the Women's March. No. Look at the Women's March. He was hoping to have a party to celebrate his 1 year in office. And what did he get? He got a government shutdown and he got millions of women out in the street again.
I don't think Melania is going to divorce Donald. She's the first lady of the White House. She handles herself with a lot of poise and class. She's got a great sense of style. They're dressing her to be as glamorous as Jackie Kennedy. I don't think Melania is going to jump ship. I don't think there's a chance of that happening.
Well, I mean, she's got to be super embarrassed. I mean, can you imagine? And I felt that same way, you remember, because we covered the Clintons during those horrific years. Do you remember me saying to you, could you imagine how shitty Chelsea Clinton has to feel that the whole world knows what a pig her father is?
Yeah, I know.
You know, how do you think, Trump's Chelsea. Little son must think about his father?
Chelsea's not much of a paragon.
It doesn't matter. She was a kid when that was happening. You know what I'm saying? If that was me and somebody said something like that or exposed something like that about my father, I would be so distraught there'd be no words.
Actually, not about her father, not biological, who actually was Webster Humble, Roger Stone.
Well, yeah, we covered that too.
Right,
we covered that. I'm telling you, it's like a soap opera with demons in the starring roles. Jim, we're out of time. I can't believe it. I know you got other shows to do today, but this was great. I'm looking forward to talking with you next month. We did get to catch up on a lot of stuff, sure.
Terrific. Wonderful, Bria.
All right. Great. Well, you take good care of yourself. Keep your eyes on the skies, as they say.
Best wishes for 2018, my friend.
Oh, you too, Jim. We'll talk again soon.
You got it.
Bye. Jim Fetzer, you don't have to agree with everything he says. You can do some research on your own, but it's always an interesting show for sure. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys tomorrow when I'm back with news of Planet of the Apes. News I know no one hears elsewhere, or let alone the way I deliver it. Thanks.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.